Now, who of you likes stories? Everyone likes a good story, right? And today, we're going to look at one of the best stories. And you know, the Bible is full of some of the best stories. And sometimes, it's the case that God wants to speak to us through those stories. So there are occasions when we kind of look at the detail of stories, explicitly kind of what happened there, and what did the people say and do. And there are other times when we take a big broad brush and say, okay, what was the theme there? And we're going to do that today. We're going to have a look at a really famous story from the Bible and just pick out one or two things that I believe that God wants to speak to us about today. But the way we're going to do it is a little bit different, all right? And we're going to have some actions that we can all play along with, okay? So there will, though, be the case that we're going to need some leaders, some young people, all right, who want to be leaders in the future, to come and lead us in these actions, okay? So if you're a child, right, maybe 11 and under, and you want to come and hang out down here with me, you're real welcome. Why don't you come down now for a second? So the opportunity to gain these sweets that are behind me will rest upon you being down here. So I don't know whether that moves people forward or not. I say you guys could come and just sit down here. And if you want to, you can come and sit down here this side of me as well. Now, that's it. Okay. I'm going to tell you all about this story. How many of you have heard of the story of Joseph? Not many people. Maybe I need to sing you one or two of the songs, huh? It's not going to happen. Although my wife was like daring me to do it earlier, and I'm not sure I can pull it off. But there were some great songs because it's even been made into a musical. Why would I do that to myself? Seriously. Okay. Maybe later. Never know. Okay. But here's the thing, okay? Now, whenever you hear someone preach, okay, it's a little bit like the game of catch. Okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab a ball and I'm going to throw it out to you. Okay? But here's the thing. For catch to be a good game, you need not only someone who's passing the ball, you also need to receive it for yourself. All right? And so what we need to do is we need to be in a position to kind of catch that. And so I'm going to do my very best to throw out to you today some really good things that God says. And what I want you to do is to catch them in your heart. Okay? So how about I pray that we'd be good throwers and catchers, and then we'll get started. Is that all right? If you want to, you can close your eyes and bow your heads with me. Okay. Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence. Lord, we love you, and we're grateful for all that you're doing amongst us. And Lord, right now, I want to pray that your words would, Lord, speak deeply into every single person who is here. And God, that each one of us would be really good catchers of exactly what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want five people. Do you want to know what you've got to do first? Okay, you don't have to. Tell you what, we'll have five. Kofi, you come and be one of them. You come here as well. You guys come here. And blue t-shirt on the left-hand side. Come on, right. I want you guys to stand, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on the stage up here, because you, for the time being, are going to be my leaders. Okay? And what we're going to do, right away over here on this stage as well. Jump up. Well done. Okay. What we're going to do is I'm going to read just portions of an overview story about the life of Joseph. Okay? But when we hear certain key words, we're going to do actions so that we know they're coming up. Okay? So you need to be listening really carefully for when I say some of those words, and then we're going to do actions for them. Okay? Let me explain. So every time that I say Joseph, Philip is going to demonstrate. Hey! Every time I say Joseph, we're going to wave. Hey! Go on, practice being Joseph. So, Joseph. All right, Joseph. Right, we get to wave, right? Very good. We're all going to wave when we hear Joseph. When we say brothers, now the brothers are very grumpy, so we're going to be grumpy. All right? So, every time we see the brothers, I want lots of grumpy faces, arms folded. Right? Can we do grumpy? Arms folded. That's a good grumpy face right there. Oh, seriously. Very good. Okay. So we've got Joseph and we've got brothers. When we know Jacob, thumbs up. Jacob's a good guy, right? Hey. So, everyone thumbs up. We can do a big smiley face for Jacob. Thumbs up. You guys doing it well? Great. Okay. Fourth one. Okay. When we talk about dreams, We're going to yawn. We can do that. You can make the sound as well if you like. You guys doing good yawns? So Ali's modeling it. Very good. Okay, so we've got Joseph brothers, Jacob dreams, two more. We know Pharaoh is in this story. Now Pharaoh is like a king. He's like someone really famous. So we're gonna have a royal wave. Okay, can we do a royal wave? That's a very good, seriously. We just get like special platforms. I'm impressed. So Rory's there modeling our royal wave. Very good. And the final one is when we mention God. Okay? So with God, arms in the air and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Big shout, hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Are we ready? Are you guys ready as well? They're going to lead you, but you've got to be listening out for those words, all right? Okay. This is a story about Joseph. Hey, you guys have got it already. Brilliant. Who came from Canaan? Joseph, very good, had 11 brothers. But Joseph was his father Jacob's favorite. This is brilliant. I want the camera to come down here just to check you guys out. Seriously. Okay. As a result, he made him a special robe. Now, the older brothers were very angry when they saw the fancy coat because they thought that Jacob loved Joseph more than them. Now, pause there for a moment, okay? Because there has been some debate over the years by theologians as to what this coat might have looked like, okay? And so on the stage often, flick to the next picture for me, Katie. We have obviously a very multicolored coat, but you know, I would just say to you, there's also been some debate, even amongst the leadership team here at the church, about what it might actually have looked like. And so Simon Holly thinks it was like a one color, bright, sort of singing and dancing, you know, really bright jacket, okay? I'm not convinced about that, but just saying that is, if you were to ask Simon, that's a little bit like him. PJ, on the other hand, thinks it's a kind of tighter, stripier affair. Yeah. At this point, I'm very pleased they're not here. But and then of course we've got Royden. Now, personally, I think Royden's probably right. He's gone for the slightly more sophisticated leather look. There it is. Oh yeah. That's right. But just to say, I don't want us to get distracted by the special type of coat. All we need to know is that it's a special coat, okay? So, let's carry on with the story, shall we? Let's flip back to the other side. Okay, so, one day, God...
Hallelujah.
Hey! Gave Joseph an unusual dream. And he went to go and say this to his brothers. He said, last night I had a strange dream. We were tying up bunches of grain out in the field when all of a sudden my bunch stood up, but all of yours bowed down to mine. The brothers didn't like this at all, but Joseph continued. Then, after that, I had another dream. This is brilliant, I love it. The sun, the moon, and the stars all bowed down to me. This made the brothers dislike Joseph even more, and they decided to kill him. So the next time that they saw Joseph, they grabbed him, took off his special coat, and they decided to sell him to the Egyptians for money. Then they took this special coat, dipped it in animal blood, and took it back to their father. Now, when Jacob saw this, he actually was very upset. He cried for many days because he thought that his son was dead. Now, well done, you five. We're going to get some other people in a minute, but why don't you grab a thing in the streets and roll. Grab one each. Well done. One each. Have that one. Well done. Okay. Now listen, the deal is that you're not allowed to eat them until later though. Okay? Well done. So, a couple of issues we've got here. Joseph is in a pickle, right? No, you don't need to do actions for a minute. Right? We'll get back to the story. You'll have your chance, all right? So, Joseph is in a pickle. There's been this huge... it's very distracting when people are like, hey. Okay. There's this huge family rivalry going on, okay? And in the midst of this, where many of us might have experienced family rivalry before, kind of brothers arguing and not really getting on and so on, but this has totally boiled over. So much so that Joseph has been... So much so that Joseph has been sold off into slavery. I'm going to ignore you guys. But here's the thing, okay? God has spoken to Joseph about what he has been called for. Seriously. He knows by this point that he... I'm just going to avoid the words. He knows by this point that he's been called to a really special purpose. And you know... we need to know that we are living a life of both significant and significance and purpose as well, all right? It's really important that that actually takes root in ourselves. You know, when I first became a Christian, honestly, I didn't really know what was next. It was kind of one of those where, wow, I've got to know Jesus. You know, he's transformed my life. What now? Do I, like, have to move to some crazy country a million miles away and start being a missionary and, you know, giving away Bibles or something? Maybe. You know, is it the case that I need to... just replace all my shoe wear with sandals, right? That's what Christians do, correct? Or maybe it's just the case I need to go and get one of those fish for the back of my car, right? Maybe is this what Christians do? Is this kind of what it's all about? And you know, I was encouraged by the fact that even though it's basic, it's so important. We need to know what our purpose is on this earth. And you know, there was a guy who actually came to Jesus and said exactly the same thing. He said, look, what is the most important thing in my life? What should I be doing? And Jesus' response is a response for every single one of us. He said this. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In essence, every single one of you have the responsibility to do this. Love God, love people. Okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, your job is to love God, love people. If you are ever stuck in a situation that says, what do I do in this place? How should I be living my life? What are the two key rocks that I'm going to get in place before I do anything else? Actually, we need to be asking ourselves the question, am I best loving God and loving the people who are around me? But you know, even though Joseph had got this vision of kind of where he was going, his attitude in actual fact was all wrong. Okay, he had this kind of, got all this stuff muddled up. And so even in essence, as he shared these dreams, we get the sense that he was actually gloating and he was full of pride and he was making these guys, you know, feel a little bit like they were second class. And you know, it's so important because we might even have very similar challenges, both in this church and individually. Okay, I want to say to you that when I got saved in this church 6 years ago, and it's radically changed my life, and I'm passionate about this place. I love it. I love the people. I love the leaders. I'm so excited about everything that God's doing here. It totally inspires me. But you know, once upon a time, I could take that and twist that in a really unhealthy way. Let me explain. Because my mom goes to a very much more traditional kind of C of E church. And, you know, she's there with a group of sort of 25, 30 people. And, you know, she's the kind of spring chicken of the bunch at 60 years old, you know. And but the hard part was that my heart in the midst of this was like, hold on a minute. They don't have a guitar, right? They don't have a guitar for worship. How, that's got to be wrong, right? Or, you know, maybe it's the case that I was thinking for a while, they don't do Alpha. How can they actually be Christians if they don't do Alpha, right? I mean, it just didn't seem to fit in my head. Or donuts, right? They don't give donuts away at the end of the meeting. Surely they must have got it all wrong. And so in the midst of this, I'm kind of both judging and extending and thinking, you know what? Actually, this isn't healthy for us. Actually, God has called us to reach a very specific, very wonderful, very special group of people. And yet, the danger and the challenge for us is that we kind of get overexcited about kind of the journey that he's taking us on and kind of disregard that of other people. We can get carried away with ourselves. Let me tell you a little story that I heard this week of a father telling, okay? There were two boys that he had. One's called Elijah, one was called Graham. And he, like every single parent should do, he would say to his children, you are amazing. You're wonderful, you're brilliant, you're fantastic, and you know, you're special, and you can do it, and you're a genius. Because what he wants to do is he wants to feed in and add in as much into their kind of their self-belief and their bank as they possibly can. Parents, that is an amazing thing for you to do. But in the midst of this, he actually heard Graham and Elijah arguing. They were having this fight. And Graham said, "Look, I'm just fed up with this. Will you stop bossing me around?" And he said, "Why wouldn't I boss you around? I'm a genius." Now, Dad thought he might have got this a little bit wrong. So he pulled him off to one side and said, "Hey, buddy, did you just say that you were a genius?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's right. You told me I was a genius." But he thought, okay, this got a little bit twisted. But he didn't quite understand, how can I best support him and encourage him in this? And so he thought about it for a couple of days. And then he went back to him and said, "I've got it." He said, "If someone comes up to you and challenges you and said, that isn't the way that you should speak, or you're not this, that, your response should be this: my dad says I am. Your response should be, my father says I am." Now, you see how this is so important to us, because of the fact that when we are given challenges, when we have these thoughts going around our heads saying, "You can't do that, you're not good looking, you can't achieve this, are you capable of doing that?" Our response actually should be, "My father says I can." And actually that is what is so significant. We are capable because of the fact that he says so. We are going to get through this because of the fact that he says so. We are forgiven and free, not because of any righteous works that I've done, but because he says so. That's good news, hey? That's such good news. We need to be secure about who we are without being arrogant. I need some more volunteers for this. You've already been up. Okay, if you've been up, put your hands down, because I don't want to put you twice. Okay, you come up. Come on then. You want to come as well? Come on then. And we'll have you in the middle, and come on down here. Well done. Do you want to come as well? Come on, we'll have a sixth person here. Right, jump up and spread yourselves out. Now, can you remember the actions? No. Joseph? Joseph. Okay, brothers? Right? Jacob? Yeah? And who else have we got? God? Hey, hallelujah. Dream? Pharaoh. Okay, were these guys any good at it? They weren't following you. You need to lead them, all right? So as you do it, they're going to follow you. Okay, so let's get back to the story. Joseph works as a slave, but it gets worse because he was thrown into jail for something that he had not done. But God was with him. Sorry, my fault. One night, Pharaoh had a strange dream, and he asked Joseph to tell him what it meant. So Joseph asked God to help him, and he did. After Pharaoh had told him his dream, Joseph, we go again, began to explain it. He's trying to tell you that there will be 7 years when nothing will grow and there won't be any food for anyone. But there will be 7 good years before the bad ones. Therefore, you must save a little each year from the harvest, and that way you will have enough to get through those bad years. Pharaoh was very impressed and believed all that Joseph had told him. And he put him in charge of the whole of Egypt. He became an incredibly important person. And people came from all over the country to buy grain from him, including his long-lost brothers. However, when they came, they didn't recognize him, for it had been so long since they had seen him. So the brothers bowed down to Joseph. And as he was such an important person, just like the dream had said all of those years ago, eventually he said to his brothers, "It's me, Joseph. I am your brother. Actually, that's not the brother's brother. Forget it. The one that you sold all of those years ago, and although what you did was wrong and was meant to harm, God has used it for good and has put me here to save people from starving. I forgive you for all that you have done and want us to be friends. So Jacob, his brothers, and Joseph, I said, let's do it really quick. And, hold on, where am I going? Jacob, his brothers, and Joseph, that was good, very good, sorry. All lived in Egypt where they had the food that was needed. Well done, you guys. Grab a bag of sweets. Well done. Well done. Right, let's pop those back there for a minute. Right, come and grab your seats. Now, here's the thing about Joseph, and here's the thing I love about this story, that even in the most difficult and some of the hardest of circumstances, Joseph keeps his trust and his eyes on God, no matter what he is going through. Now, understand that this is a crazy difficult situation. His brothers have abandoned him. They have sold him into slavery. They have tried to kind of kill him and mock him and ridicule him. Not only that, but he's thrown in prison for something he hasn't done, and he's had a horrific time of it. But in the midst of this, he keeps trusting God. You know, there are some people who believe that, you know, I've become a Christian now. Why is my life not all sorted? Why is everything kind of not hunky-dory? You know, I've even chatted to people who have said, you know, it's been so difficult. I haven't had the promotion that I expected. Surely I'm a believer now, so I should be getting pay rises. Surely it's the case that things should be coming, you know, really easy. Why is this stuff so hard? You know, I found that analogy really helpful because some people believe that they move and get saved onto a cruise liner, right? Where they get to sit by the pool, where they get to relax and kind of sun themselves. And actually, the picture the Bible paints is actually more like they get saved onto a battleship, okay? And actually, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be challenging at times. Sometimes there are going to be shots thrown and there's going to be attack happening. In many regards, we're actually called into the battle to be on a mission that we're now on. Because, you know, this world right now is still riddled with sin and it's still riddled with brokenness and there's still issues all over the place which we have to handle. But listen to some of Jesus' words because these things are so encouraging to us. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, "In this world, you will have troubles." You will. You will. That's what Jesus says. You know, if we look at the life of the disciples, we know they were persecuted. We know they had a tough time. Look at Jesus' life. He was crucified for what he believed. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I love that. You know, Joseph, in the midst of his most difficult circumstances and struggles, clings on to the truth that God is working all things out, that he has his hand on him and that he is going to move him to the place that he wants to be moved. You know, there's a verse that also we can hold fast to. These, if you like, these are two of my favorite verses in the Bible, ones that I will cling on to. This is Romans 8:28. It says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Maybe there are challenges going on in your life right now. Maybe it's the case that you feel like you're being persecuted. You feel like there's difficult things going on. Maybe it's verbal persecution. People are saying, "Why are you doing that? Why are you living that way? Why are you speaking in that way? Who are you hanging out with?" Maybe there are financial pressures on your life. Maybe I don't know whether I can cope in the midst of this. Maybe, probably not for you guys, but maybe there are stresses at work. Maybe it's just all kind of coming down really hard on you. And actually, you need to know where Jesus is in the midst of it. He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. And he is working all things for the good of those who love him. I saw this quote by a lady called Corrie ten Boom. And she said this, "When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer." I like that. So what do we do, okay? In the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of challenges and persecution, what do we do? Well, I'm just going to close with one final analogy, okay? Because when I was 17, I got my first car, right? It was a little bit like this one, okay? Now, this is a Ford Escort, okay? But this is a little bit newer than mine was. And this was back in, like, 1997. I know I'm getting old. But it was burgundy, right? So imagine, like, a really dirty burgundy color up there. And rather than this car, my car was a little bit older, and it had a huge amount of rust down the side, all right? To the point where there were actually times when I could see the floor, like, as I was driving. Which, if you can do that, that's a little bit concerning. You need to go get it checked out. But the car was falling apart, and there was at one stage when there was more oil going into it than I was putting in petrol because it had this constant leak, and we just couldn't seem to find out where it was. Anyway, so what would happen, though, is this. I do not know anything about cars, bottom line, right? And so it's one of those where I will, you know, see a sign, garage, come and get your car assessed, and I'll think, okay, you need to do this every year. I'm going to go to the garage, and I'm going to sit down. They're going to check it out, and they're going to tell me what needs doing. But they would give me this huge long list of this needs doing, this needs doing, this needs doing, this needs doing. And I was a little bit overwhelmed. You know, I'm 17, I'm at college, I don't have any money. How am I going to afford to keep my car on the road? And so I thought, you know, hey, maybe we could go and get a second opinion. And then somebody said to me, why don't you just take it to John? Why don't you take it to John? You know, he'll look at it for you. He'll treat you right. So I went and sort of sat down and we talked about it. And he said, you know, I've looked at the car. Let me tell you, I can't send you back out on the road like this. I can't let you go out like that. But you know what? I'll fix it, and I'll fix it for free. I can't send you out on the road like this, but I'll fix it for free. You see, we can go to the world for our assessments, for our checks, for our value and acceptance and so on. And they might give us this whole list of things that need to be done, things that you need to change. But actually, if we were to go to God, then he says, look, I'm not going to leave you as you are. I'm not going to send you out like this. But I'll fix it, and I'll fix it for free. Joseph could have looked around him. He could have seen the prisoners. He could have looked back at what had happened. It's all so horrific. Could have looked at the situation in my life time and time again. If I look at the situation that I'm in, look at what I've got to do, I get overwhelmed, pressured, put down until I get my eyes back on who he is, until I get my eyes back on what he said, in the debt that I've been in, or even the fact that there are times when I'm so busy, like my mind just tries to compare myself with others. I get so insecure in myself. And yeah, it's those times that I've got to remind myself who God is, what he's called us to, and actually the fact that his love is the main thing. If you need to know, and you need to go and get your assessment from a different place, maybe how is my body supposed to look? Maybe what it is for me to be successful? We need to go to God. Because he says, come to me, I'll fix you, and I'll do it for free.